15, 16, 17 together. Though ye have 10,000 instructors in Christ, yet have ye not many fathers, for in Christ Jesus I have begotten you through the gospel. Wherefore I beseech you, be ye fathers to me. For this cause have I sent you Timotheus, who is my beloved son, and faithful in the Lord, who shall bring you into remembrance of my ways, which be in Christ, as I teach everywhere in every church. Point verse 15. What does Paul and his relationship with the Corinthians in that verse? What is his relationship to these, with that church at Corinth? The hands of that one? Yes, ma'am?
Spiritual father.
Spiritual father. Pastor Dan?
You have to establish the church.
And the father says, you don't have many fathers. It's interesting, you have a lot of instructors, perhaps, local church, the pastors and various helpers in that church, but how many fathers have led them to Christ? And it says, what has he done for them in verse 15 of the passage?
It says 10,000 instructors.
The 10,000, what does it for?
Oh, no, I don't know what he said. I'm saying
10,000.
He says here in the passage, if there are 10,000 instructors, all these are preposition.
Right.
So the one person, the one father.
And the last part of that verse, what does Paul say he did for them? Does it say, what, how's he phrase that?
Say it again.
The last part of this verse 15. What did Paul do?
Her batteries are dead.
Who's is that?
Her battery. Her batteries are dead.
Oh, from mom's batteries. Yes, you don't have the batteries yet.
No, I
have begotten you through the gospel.
Begotten you through the gospel. That means through his ministry they were born again and begotten of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then in verse 16, what does he beseech them to do? What did he say? Ten?
Be followers of me.
Now, you notice in the next verse, it talks about he has many Timothy and so on. Remembers my ways as being Christ. Now, in what sense does Paul want them to follow him? And what ways do they got to apply to them?
Well, I think somewhere else he said, follow me as I follow Christ.
As I follow Christ. So are the things of the Lord, follow him. Not necessarily all the details, but as he preaches Christ and lives for the Lord, follow him.
Well,
him.
I mean, if he doesn't want them to follow him if he does something that's not right.
Right.
That's right. As I follow Christ.
As he follows Christ, exactly right. So, but this is good to have an example. There weren't too many people, I'm sure, in the city of Corinth at that time that were good examples. But he led them to the Lord, he's their father in Christ, he's begotten them through the gospel. Now, follow me in those things where we talk about the gospel message. And then in verse 17, who did he send to help them? And what was he supposed to do?
Timotheus.
Timotheus, that's Timothy. And how is Timothy described in this verse? Two ways. What's the first, Dan?
His beloved son.
Yes, meaning what?
He's loved.
That's right.
And he's his son. So he's his spiritual father.
Spiritual father, yeah, that's right.
Faithful in the Lord.
Yeah, that's second, faithful in the Lord.
Yeah, okay, I'm sorry.
Well, that's right. Now, the first thing was, who is he? He's his beloved son.
He loves
what does that mean, his son? Physical son?
Yes. Yeah, spiritual.
No, spiritual son, he led him to the Lord. And secondly, as fact, as a faithful in the Lord. Now, at our Deanburg outside of me this last July, yesterday, last month, in Georgia, Dr. Boyes had a message. Remember what it was. He said, here are the apostles. Lay down all the things that they did do for the Lord Jesus Christ. Firm apostles. And in the very days the apostles lived, all these different churches left what they were told. The apostasy began right in the very first part of the church. And that's why Paul says, he wants you to be, keep in remembrance. What does he want him to remember in verse 17?
Excuse me, what did you say? My mind can't stay.
Your battery's dead?
No.
You don't have it in your ears? Oh.
I hear you. I just don't understand what you're saying.
I'm saying Pastor Boyce and Dr. Boyce gave us a message saying the apostles led them along the line, and then they meet them the first time, and they just started apostatizing right and left. That's what I'm saying.
That's not what I mean.
Oh. So, what does Paul tell them in verse number 17 that they're supposed to do with these Christians at Corinth? What are they supposed to do? Yes, Tim?
they're supposed to remember his ways.
All right.
Timotheus is going to help them.
Okay, to bring the people to you remembrance of my ways. What kind of ways? What kind of ways?
In Christ.
Ways of being Christ, that's right. And what does he do with those? In other words, the things the Lord taught, teach, and preach. And what did he do with these ways? What did Paul do with these ways? Just teach this church at Corinth? What's the same in that last part of that verse 18? Yeah, 17. Yes, yeah?
He teaches everywhere.
Everywhere he was, in every church. And ways of being Christ. It's a very important thing. Questions at bftbc.org or 856-261-9018. Give us a call or comment. Or just say hello. Glad to hear from you. So that's what we've got to do. Teach the ways of being Christ in our church, in our testimonies, to our friends, to our neighbors, our families. Let's read verse number 18, 19, and 20 together. Now some are puffed up as though I would not come to you. But I will come to you shortly, if the Lord will, and will know not the speech of them which are puffed up, but the power. For the kingdom of God is not in word, but in power. Let's read 21 too. What will ye? Shall they come unto you with a rod, or in love, and in the spirit of meekness? Right, verse number 18. What does it mean, puffed up? What's that mean? Who's puffed up?
The crowd. Some of the people in church Corinth.
Okay, what does it mean to be puffed up? What's it called?
Proud.
Proud, arrogant. So these are things that I don't want them to be proud of, but they're puffed up.
Yes. Going back to the first chapter, they were proud because they were followers, and they had been baptized by this, or they were of this person, or,
yes.
You know, and they were dividing.
That's right. Hey, Bill.
We are all sinners. Even though we've been forgiven of our sins, we still have that sin nature in us. And that sin nature is a reflection of Satan himself, his pride, which caused him to fall.
That's right.
And this is also why so many people have left the true church.
Yes.
Either in the times of the apostles or what we've seen within our lifetime. So many people leaving because they don't realize that they are relying on their own mind, their own humanistic, sinful mind, which causes them to leave the Word and to go their own way.
Amen.
That's your name. We'll verse here in 1 Peter 5, 6. Humble yourself, therefore, in the mighty hand of God, He may exalt you in due time. They weren't doing that. They were puffing themselves up. They weren't humbling themselves.
God says He resists what? Crop and gives grace to the humble. So, is there a fish that is puffed up? And if so, what's his name?
Blowfish.
That's right. It's the blowfish. Why does the blowfish puff up? And at what point does it puff up? And when does it puff himself up?
Maybe when he's scared.
No. Fidget, Bill.
When he's threatened. I'll scoop himself up and make himself look bigger.
No, he's afraid, not when he's afraid.
Scared.
Somebody's scared, so another fish comes at him and do something, then, well, he may be scared too, but I think what Bill said is right. Another
well,
fish.
I'm not sure. Does he have emotions like that? I don't know. Maybe.
Well, I don't know.
I guess he does.
Well, regardless,
so I guess the way he believes by instinct that his life is in danger.
Right.
And he'll make himself appear bigger.
Yeah, that's right. And what happens when he does that? What happens? What takes place then after he pulls himself and puffs himself? Yeah, that's it.
If a predator, some of the predators, yeah. Say, "Wait a second, I'm going to stop and turn around."
He's too big for me. That's right. He holds
some of them. I'm not sure there's some predators that come here.
He's also poisonous. If you eat the wrong portion of the blowfish, it can make you very sick or even kill you.
Oh, is that right?
And other animals in the ocean may understand that from the way it puffs itself up.
Recognize that as a blowfish.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You've got to be very, very careful. Right. Don't order that fish in a restaurant.
So some are puffed up. as though I would not come to you. What do you think that's connected with the glory? Verse 18. Why is that in there, do you think? How does he put that into the puffing up? Any ideas on that?
Maybe because if they're puffed up and they're not really expecting him to come and to recruit them or to see what they're doing, whatever evil they're involved with. Mm-hmm. And so it's sort of like, you know, not being dependent upon the Lord, and so you're not really expecting him to return. Mm-hmm. So he's just coming so out of your way.
Yeah. Could be. Now, Paul did come, as he's going to say, he's going to come, verse 19, how long before he gets there? What's the word that tells it?
Shortly,
very soon he's going to come. And what is his qualification, though? Very important. What is the qualification about his coming?
Lord's will. The power
of God. Yes. Got a hand up?
No, I just said the Lord's will.
It would be the Lord's will.
Not with puffed up speech.
What happens when somebody comes to some places
okay. And
the will doesn't? The will, it's not God's will. What sometimes happens when someone comes without being the Lord's will? Anything bad happens sometimes?
It's uncomfortable.
What really could happen? That's possible. Lots of things bad could happen.
Well, Jonah was thrown that well.
That's true. That was the Lord's will. Probably permitted. It was for permission of will. Mm-hmm. But if someone comes out of the will of God, it's good to say it's the Lord's will. If the Lord is willing. Several times Paul said that. Yvonne?
Probably if you're puffed up and cocky and being gained, you have pride, you brag.
Mm-hmm.
But the kingdom is not of words, not of bragging and stuff, but in power, as it says.
At what point did the Lord Jesus Christ say, if it be God's will?
Not my will, but thy will.
When did he say that?
In the garden.
In the garden. Well, in the garden. He's praying garden of Gethsemane, isn't that? In
Gethsemane, yes.
Yes. And if it be possible, let this cup pass. But never, not my will, but thine be done. It's important. Bill.
King Saul was punished for acting out of will against God. He was told to kill all the people that he was going up against. Mm-hmm. And he didn't do it. He wanted to keep war booty.
Spare a few.
And he did not listen to God.
Mm-hmm.
Or
the garden.
Yeah.
I'm sure Adam told Eve what to do. If that be true, another example of not doing the will of God. It's important. Where do we find the will of God?
You mean Adam?
I suppose he did. I imagine. Who knows? But what happens when we're out of the will of God? What can happen? Or might happen? Bill?
Out of fellowship with the Lord.
Out of fellowship with the Lord. So, it comes, I will come short if the Lord will. And what will they know about Paul when he does come? In verse 18. 19. Yeah, that's that.
They'll know this word, the power of God.
All right.
Well, what happens if he popped up for God's power?
All right. But another, what will they not know? They'll not know what, how well they know. Two different parts.
The speech of them that have popped up.
That's right. Paul's not going to be a puffer like a blowfish. He's going to be very calm. He's going to speak of the power of God with the guiding of the Holy Spirit. The questions at bftbc.org, 856-261, 9018, give us a call or comment. Nathan?
The Apostle Paul had said in other places that he was eloquent or his words were.
Yes.
But yet, the power of the Holy Spirit was with him.
Mm-hmm.
And so they would know that, regardless of whether or not, you know, they would have a really fabulous speech that would mm-hmm. be all flowery,
mm-hmm.
that maybe these people that are puffed up have.
Mm-hmm. I think it's Zechariah 4:6. And what does that say? not by might, nor by
power,
by my spirit, saith the Lord. So I don't think that's a call. I think that's a message of this year. It says, "Remember, Lord, and delete unwanted contents of this generation, our race letter." I'm saying, "Oh, Lord," so I give that to you, and maybe you can figure out how to knock that off, because I've been saying that for very.
Maybe it's
a way
that
is
for
me. Is it second? Was it? The second. Four seconds, okay. Not by might, but by power. By my spirit, says the Lord. So if the Lord really is going to come, he's going to see the power of God. And then in verse 20, what is the example there? What is the kingdom of God, by the way? And God has in it the kingdom of God.
Kingdom of salvation.
Salvation.
The kingdom of God.
The kingdom of heaven, kingdom of God, ambassador, excuse me, the kingdom of heaven. But part one of it is the millennial reign of Christ, but then the kingdom of God, even those that are saved today are in the kingdom of God, right? What did the Lord Jesus say to Nicodemus? Except to me. Pastor Dan?
Except to me before again.
Can I see
the kingdom of God?
The kingdom of God. So, in other words, the salvation is when you saw it. And so it says, the kingdom of God is, what is it not? The kingdom of God, salvation. And what is it? According to this verse.
It's not in word.
By the word, but in power. Absolutely.
Kind of clarifying again what he said in the previous verse there.
Yes. The power. That's right, very important.
Not in speech, but in power. Mm-hmm.
Power of the Holy Spirit, power of God. And then in verse 21, he asks a simple question. What is the question he asks of these people in Corinth?
What
was it? Tammy?
What do you desire?
Okay. There's several choices. What are some of the possibilities that could come? Any hands on that? What are some of the possibilities when he comes? What might happen? How might he come? Any hands on that?
Where is
that? Verse 21?
The rod.
And hands
of
that? Didn't see a hand?
My hand?
Oh, absolutely.
I'm too tired to raise
my hand. Okay. Sammy?
I didn't raise my hand.
I thought she had to raise before.
You called up me.
I thought she raised before.
Your hand was up last week.
With a rod. So a rod
would be... That's one possibility. Now, is discipline sometimes necessary?
Yes.
For people that are being disciplined, like discipline?
No, but evidently, Paul didn't do much with the rod often because he said,
well, wait till chapter 5, you get a little rod. In chapter 5, 6, 7, you'll get after them. But he asked, first of all, a rod, discipline. Spare the rod and spoil the child. That's not just a regular saying, but if thou beatest him with the rod, he will not die. As the book of Proverbs says, and we've got to take care of our children. Just a small. I don't share it that much.
You have to don't question the words of the scripture.
No, don't question the scripture.
I think her word for kind was.
But I'm
an infant.
What is it?
She's thinking about a little infant. I believe I'm not sure she's thinking about her, she's good. But I think she's thinking about an infant.
Why would I talk to an infant?
Okay.
Because her sin was cruel and unusual.
Yeah.
No, she had said that. She said, depend on the size of the rod. But well, we don't want to come into question with Scripture.
No. Don't forget the book. Where God says, spare the rod, without basing the rod, you will not die. Remember also in Proverbs, it says, Jason, thy son, while there's hope, and let not thy soul spare for what?
His crying.
So we've got to have, it's the first part. You want to come with a rod and chase him. That's what he means. A rod of punishment. That's the spirit of God. In Psalm 23, what is that rod? By rod and that strength of God. What is that rod there? That's the shepherd rod. Any hands on that one?
Yes, Brian.
Any hands on that one?
I don't have any hands.
Okay. Anybody? Yeah, Bill.
That's the shepherd's staff.
The shepherd's staff. What does the shepherd's staff use for a sheep? It's
like a crook to put around their neck to keep them from straying.
And if they fall down, they can lift them up. Yeah. And what's the staff? What's that for? Rod and the staff. Anybody know that? Any hands on that?
To hit the lions on the head.
Catch it in?
Well, she said so.
Well, on the hands.
No, you got hands. The batteries to push out, push with predators.
That's good. And that's very important. So as an offensive weapon, say the script, you're right. That's to grab that sheep that's fallen down there and lift them.
The rod. The rod of the staff.
That's not
the rod.
The rod is the staff. And the rod is to beat up the
enemy. That's the enemy. That's right. So the question is, will I come here with a rod? Discipline. Is that what you want me to do? Well, what's the second possibility?
Or in love.
In love.
Well,
and what else?
Anything
in love. No, if you raise your hand, I'm going to call you. We've got to be decently in order. Decently in order. What is this? The third thing we have to have. It's
time. Spirit of meekness.
Spirit of meekness. So rod, would that necessarily be meek or not too meek? That couldn't be too meek. It's solid. Would the rod be meek? Necessary? No, that wouldn't be. That would be,
But he didn't
strong.
Come with any of these things. He came.
The question is asked, how would you want me to come? Three things. Rod, love, meekness. And I'm sure they would want love and they want meekness. They wouldn't want to run. I have a further question on chapter 4 before we move on to chapter 5. Questions at bftbc.org or give us a call at 856-261-9018. Glad to hear from you. Part 3, verses 1, 2, and 3. Chapter 5, verses 1, 2, and 3. It is reported commonly that there is fornication among you, and such fornication is not so much as named among the Gentiles. And once you have his father's wife, and you are puffed up, and are not rather mourned, than he that hath done this deed, be taken away from among you. For I verily assassin in the body, the present in spirit, and just already, as though I were present, concerning him that hath so done this deed. My first number one. What is the report? What is the report? Any hands on that? What is the report? After that?
Fornication have exceeded that of the Gentiles.
All right. And how common was it? How common? Any hands on that? What is it?
It was commonly reported.
Commonly? What does that mean? What does that mean? It's commonly reported.
Classic.
Any hands on that? Get that?
It's frequent.
Freaking.
Talk about it.
Honey, let's talk. Raise your hand, please. Okay, it's frequent, commonly, from all over, all quarters. Everybody's reporting this. Right there in this local church. A lot of churches that have difficulties and problems and so on, it's reported commonly among other people. A lot of people see that, and it's a terrible thing. One pastor we heard about recently, he had a terrible, whether it was a sex type of thing, whatever, he was so broken up about it, people were leaving his church, he committed suicide. Remember that one just the other day we heard about that?
I told you that a long time ago,
that's true.
Yeah,
and Bill?
That's a common problem within a lot of churches. I've heard a lot of pastors complain about that, some of their members of their church are sinning and they're doing terrible things like that. And it's apparently very common to watch any of the judge shows on television, the courtroom shows. You know, a lot of times you'll see a pastor being sued by some woman because of problems that he has. Mm-hmm. And, it's common. It's in the Bible, you should know it.
Right.
But they're apparently not paying much attention to it.
Right. So this fornication that's reported, yes, Pastor Dan?
What was common? Is this just the case?
Particular case. Commonly reported. Unreported. That's right. And how would you define fornication in this case? Or any case? Pam?
Well, it's almost incest. I mean, it's because it's his father's wife. It's not his mother, probably.
Mm-hmm.
But his father probably remarried.
Yes.
Maybe his mother died or something.
That's right. That word porneia, as we mentioned Sunday morning, I believe, is is a sin that many different factors. Could be homosexuality, could be adultery, could be fornication. That porneia is a widely used word, but in this context, certainly, it would be like incest, as you say, could be bestiality, porneia. It's used in these different ways, but among you, what is this? Is this a common, it's commonly reported, but is this a common sin? What does it say in this first one to show it's not common? Yes, Tim?
It's not even named among the Gentiles. In other words, they don't talk about it.
They talk about it, they probably don't do it, and these may be a lot of maybe Jewish people, among all the Gentile heathen people, one should have his father's way. Mm-hmm. So it's a terrible, terrible blot on the whole church and the whole cause of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the reaction to that sin in verse 2 is what? What is their reaction? The common report of this sin.
Pride.
There again, puffed up. Use that in himself. The fact that you will not see someone that's puffed up. But these, some are puffed up. And puffed up is used three different verses, isn't it? Verse 18 and verse 12, verse 19, and hearing verse number 1 of chapter 5. So, what does it mean? That you should have his father. It's not so much named in verse number 2. You're puffed up. Why would they be puffed up at the sin of this incest, you think? That's the same old thing. Why would they be puffed up? Should they have been puffed up? No. Paul was very angry about that. Yes, Ken?
They didn't have the right attitude about
sin. What should they have done according to verse 1? Was true, rather. What should they have done with this incest? Sin, fornication. Any hands on that? Get that?
They should have mourned.
They should have mourned. They should be very sad about that. And what else was involved that should happen in verse number 2? Here's a finally
got a very fall. That's a first fall.
Oh, that's a real fall.
That's a first fall.
That was just a sin.
It's
working, but this is a little. See, that thing is a text message. So that's a different sign. So, what should be done with this according to Paul, and what wasn't done in verse number 2? Pastor Dan.
There should be an element of mourning involved.
So, first thing, mourning. What else?
There should be grieving over this thing.
All right, what else? Verse 2. That's right. Mourning. What else?
Well, and then there would be. I'm sure, Tammy.
Tammy?
So they're popped up. They're popped up about this situation.
That's true.
In the previous chapter, they were popped up, and they're still popped up. Versus not being not mourning about it.
That's right. In addition to that, Tim,
the person is supposed to be removed from the congregation, from the church.
Yes. That he that had done this deed might be taken away from them. That means dead? What does that mean?
No.
What does that mean?
Excommunicated
from the church. Kicked out of the church this summer. Well, we're going to stop right here, but we'll move on, Lord willing, next week, beginning there at this verse. Any other comments or questions you have in chapter 4 or chapter 5 so far? If not, let's close with a word of prayer. Our Father, we thank thee for Paul's honesty. Thank thee, Lord, that he talked to the church through this letter very quietly, very calmly, in love and various other things. But then when he got down to brass tacks here in chapter 5, he lowered the boom on them, as we say. He told them very clearly that they should have mourned, shouldn't be puffed up about the sin of fornication and incest. This man should have been out of the church, put out at least until he repented. So God, help us to flee these things. Help us to flee being puffed up and with lots of pride and arrogance. Keep us humble before thee. Guide us and direct us, and may we be servants of our Savior. In Jesus' name we ask and pray. Amen. Thank you for